just remain standing, if you will, turn in your Bible to two places, Romans chapter number 6 and Ephesians chapter 2. Romans chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 2. I love that song, amen. I didn't know it till we sang it not all that long ago for the first time, and then we've sung it a few times since then, but I'm still learning it, but I love it, amen. I'm glad he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what he said in the book of Hebrews, by the way. Amen. And that's exactly the truth of our Savior. God said, he said in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In other words, if God was to change, he wouldn't be as gracious. And we wouldn't be alive. But thank God for his unchanging grace. Amen. Romans chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 2 is what I'm looking at tonight. I don't have a long message, just to be honest with you, just a thought that I worked on today and got some points that I hope will be helpful to you. I've never heard a sermon on the topic I'm going to be preaching on. Although it is in a sense, it's a topic I preach a lot about, sort of, some people say a preacher's got a hobby horse. Every time Peter got up, he preached on the crucifixion. Somebody said that was his hobby horse. Well, that's a good one. If it's Bible, I believe it's right. Amen. And so what I'm going to be preaching is a truth, and we'll be dealing with a truth that I say I deal with a lot, but I've never heard this thought brought out like this, but I hope that it'll be helpful to you. So just going to read two verses in Romans 6 to start with. We're going to come back and look at quite a bit more. But Romans chapter 6, we'll read the first two verses responsively, and then we'll go to Ephesians chapter 2, read the first seven verses responsively. All right, so verse number 1 of Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop reading there. I want you to notice in chapter 2 and verse number 1, there's a phrase, dead in trespasses and sins. In verse number 5, there's a phrase, we were dead in sins. In Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 2, there's a phrase, dead to sin. I want to try to preach tonight on dead to sin or dead in sin. I ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Brother Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Jacob, for that prayer. Dead to sin or dead in sin is what I want to think on tonight. Both of these texts that I've chosen to use for tonight speak about death and sin. Both of these texts were written to Christians in a local church setting. Amen. They were written to Christians in a local church atmosphere. Romans, that we started with, speaks about those, it's actually speaking to those who are saved, and it speaks about their present state. dead to sin. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks to Christians as well, but it's speaking about their past state, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So they were dead being in sin. I want to examine these two phrases and give some things about that, some comments about that, if I can tonight. Matter of fact, I thought, being the first of the year, I was trying to find what God would have us do. The last message I preached on Sunday night was an inventory. I think it does us good to do inventory. Amen. Not just a year in, but every now and then, do an inventory. Matter of fact, I'd encourage you every evening, just look over that day, how you've used that day for God or not. Have you used it for yourself? How you've used it for whatever? And contemplate that a little bit, and then think about God in those matters. Get up in the morning ready to serve God and asking Him for help. Amen. Seeking God in the day. But here we are starting a new year. And really, I was trying to find what God would have. And just in my reading today, these thoughts came to my mind. And I wasn't reading this text. I was actually reading something else in the book of Romans. And the thought came to my mind. And so I studied some things out here. And I've got 3 points tonight that I want to talk about. First of all, defining the terms right here. This very first thing, defining the terms. In Romans chapter number 6 and verse 2, the word dead is translated from a different Greek word than that one in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. It's a different word. The one in Romans chapter 6 verse 2 is Strong's number 599. It means to die off, literally or figuratively. It's used either 111 or 112 times in your King James Bible. It's translated dead, be dead, death, die, died, dying, slain, and perished. Many of those slain and perished and maybe dying only one time, but most of them many times that it's used dead or death or die. Or died. The word in Ephesians chapter 2, and this is technical, but still I think it's helpful. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 and 5 is Strong's number 3498. And it means a corpse. Dead, literally or figuratively. It's used 132 times. And every single time it's translated dead. There's a third word found in Romans chapter number 6. As a matter of fact, let me get over there. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Look at that, if you will, and we'll look at this a little bit. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus were baptized into His death." His death. And so that's a different word. That's actually Strong's number 2288, and it means death, literally or figuratively. It's interesting, all three of these, that's what it says, literally or figuratively. This one's used 118 to 119 times in your King James Bible. It's translated death, dead, and deaths. Deaths, plural, only once in the Scripture is it translated that. And so we're looking at these three words. You say, why are you saying that? Well, I hope that I can lay out some things to give you some understanding. Somebody might would say, well, the reason, you know, dead to sin and dead in sin is two different things, two different kinds of dead. They're two different words, and they are actually two different words. But we'll find when we read Romans chapter 6 that these words are used interchangeably. Matter of fact, that same Greek word that's used in Ephesians 2 is used in Romans 6, just not verse 2. And so I want to look down some of these. Look with me, if you will, these verses in chapter 6. Look at verse number 4. Romans 6, 4 talks about baptism into death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. By the way, you didn't die when you got baptized. And it didn't put you in Christ when you got baptized. It put you in the church. But and by the way, the local church, not the invisible church that nobody's ever seen. Anybody ever seen an invisible church? No, or it wouldn't be invisible. or it would exist. But nobody's ever seen one. It's not talking about an invisible church. It's talking about a local body of believers. Amen. Now, there's times that we talk about all the believers, the family of God. That's different from church. Amen. I don't have time to chase that rabbit, but that's still, that's practical, and we do need to recognize it. But here's the situation. When you got baptized, he says, in the Christ or in the death, it didn't make you die and it didn't put you in Christ, but what it did do was symbolized that you were dying. You quit breathing. You was buried in the water. And you came up alive. Amen. And so the whole symbolism, that's all it is, brother, doesn't say it's not a sacrament. It's just a symbol that shows that you were with Christ and you're trusting Him, that you died with Him when He died on Calvary. And that you got up with Him when He got up on Resurrection Day. Amen. You're trusting that you're in Christ and saved by the grace of God. That's what that's symbolizing, every bit of that. So, but this Greek word here in Romans chapter 6, baptism unto death, is that third Greek word that I talked about there that's found in verse 3 as well. And then he says, raised up from the dead. That's that second Greek word that's found in Ephesians chapter 2. Right? Raised up from the dead. Look at verse 5. He says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, there's our word, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That planted together, the likeness of his death, that's that third Greek word, the one that's translated death and dying and deaths. Verse number 6, verse number 7, I'll skip verse 6 because the word death's not in there. Verse number 7, for he that is dead is free from sin. That's that first Greek word that's found in verse 2, that we are dead to sin. All right? Dead is freed from sin. Verse number 8, for now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. That word dead is again that first Greek word, same one. Same one in chapter 6, verse 2, in chapter 6, verse 7, chapter 6, verse 8. Look, all right, look at verse number 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Guess how many of them Greek words there are right there? Three of them. All three of them are in that one verse. Dead, dieth, and death. Dead is that first Greek word, and let me find my notes here. No, it's the second Greek word, the same one used in Ephesians 2, raised from the dead. Alright? And then death, or dieth, is that first Greek word, and death is that third Greek word. So you got second, first, and third. If you can follow those, mathematical aerobics, alright? Get your mind twisted that way. Alright, look at verse number 6. For in that he died. So it's there twice. Unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. That word died is that first Greek word. The same one says we're dead to sin. All right? Chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. That is the same Greek word used in Ephesians chapter 2 where it says we were dead in sins. What's all that about? I know it's technical, and whether or not you can follow that, I'll be glad to show you my notes and happy to look it up. You can look it up in your Strong's Concordance or look it up on your phone or device, whatever you have. You'll see it, that it's all right there. This is my point. Although those are different Greek words, they are used interchangeably. Our King James translators got it right when they wrote it in here and called it death or dead or dying or died, all those phrases, the way they used it correctly, in other words. But here's my point. It's the same kind of dead. Dead's dead. Amen. Brother Sammy Allen used to say sometimes, I remember him coming to Vision, he got a fella up, he's a big fella, and he got him, stood him up in front of the church, and he said, now if I take this fella right here, and I take a 38 special, and I put it to his head, and I blow his brains out. He said, then I walk over here to another fella, and I take a 44, which is, well, I'll say a 45. We'll take a 45. That's a little bit bigger. And I blow his brains out. Which one's the most dead? We said, dead's dead. So if you've committed one sin or 1,000, dead's dead. If you're lost, you're lost. That's the point that he's making. And that's what I'm saying in this text. Dead is dead, and that's what it means. So I'm defining the term. Secondly, I want to describe the text, if I can. Describing the text that is here. I've looked through Romans chapter 6 a little bit. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at that just a little bit. Verses 1 through 7, particularly verse 1 and verse 5, because it's got our phrase there, dead in trespasses and sins there in verse number 1, and then dead in sins in verse number 5, all right? And so I've got some thoughts about that. They're dead in sins. They're dead in sins. Does that mean they're not alive to sin? Does that mean they can't sin? No, absolutely not. They surely can sin. Matter of fact, before we were saved, we certainly did. Oh, yeah, we did. Our experience proves that we are very much alive to sin, though we were dead in sins. Right? Amen. What we were dead to, we was dead to the truth. We had feelings for sin, but we didn't have much feelings for the truth. We had an inclination to sin. We didn't have much inclination to truth. That's dead. We's dead to truth. We's dead in sins. Not dead to sins. Dead in sins. All right? Now, there's a branch of Reformed doctrine that says that those that are dead in trespasses and sins means they are unable, that word inability, that they are unable to do any good. They say when a person is dead in sin, then he is unable to do any good. But that's not my experience, nor yours, nor anybody else's. And I'm not just preaching experience, but we've got that experience we can't deny. We can take Bible, and I'm preaching Bible, and I'll show you that. But I also want to tie that and show you that your experience probably lines up with the Bible. Rather than lines up with some way some man makes a doctrine. All right? Here's my point. Our experience was that when we were dead in sin, we could choose to do right. We just didn't do that very much. Matter of fact, when a sinner, I'm talking about a lost man now, I'll use sinner and saint. That's the way I'll use it. And you say, well, don't you believe that saints are sinners? Well, I believe we were, but I don't believe we ought to practice that anymore. God made us a saint. That's why we ought to call ourselves a saint. A sinner saved by grace, I understand that. Paul said, of whom I am chief, I understand that. But he never talked about the sinners at Corinth. He talked about the saints. Amen. And we ought to talk about the saints as well. Anyway, but having said that and getting on that, dealing with that particular thing, when a person is saved by the grace of God, no, let me go back. I'll deal with the sinner. Let me deal with that, and I'll get to that in a minute. The sinner can choose to do good. He just doesn't love to do it. He'd rather sin. He loves to sin. I mean, really, how come people smoke dope? Because they love to. How come people drink liquor? Because they love to. How come people commit adultery? Because they love to. How come they curse? How come they, all the different things they do? Why do they do it? Some people get in bondage to it. And after a while, they may hate doing what they do. But there was a time they loved it. That's why they started doing it. And that's how they got hooked on it. Amen. And there's so many people that they'll say, they'll make a profession of faith. They'll come forward. They'll repeat a prayer. They'll do whatever. But they never change their life. You know why? They don't fall in love with Jesus. They're still in love with sin. What is that? That's dead in trespasses and sins. Now, let me go back to what I said a minute ago. The sinner can choose to do some good, but it don't make him saved. And if he chooses to do some good, he'll reap the benefits. If he don't smoke, he'll reap benefits of not smoking. If he don't drink, he'll reap benefits of not drinking. If he don't carouse, all these different things, he'll reap the benefits of not committing those sins, but that don't make him saved. He's still dead in trespasses and sins until he repents and believes the gospel. Amen. But this verse says they're dead in sins. Does that not mean that they're unable to do any good? No, it absolutely doesn't mean that they're unable to do any good. It just means they're not inclined to do that. They live in sin because they love sin. Now, in Romans chapter number 2, chapter 6 and verse 2. Romans chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us that once we're saved, we are dead to sins. Right? So does that mean we're unable to sin? I wish it did. Just like it doesn't mean that the sinner is unable to do good, it also doesn't mean that the saint can't do bad. Amen. Does it mean that, you know, dead to sin, does that mean we're unable to sin? Absolutely not. Again, I go back to our experience. Our experience knows that we are very capable of sinning. Right? We do, as a matter of fact, sometimes sin. Amen. But, matter of fact, look at verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we? Who's he talking about? Who's the we? He's talking about saints at Rome. Amen. Matter of fact, hold it. Go back to chapter 1. Just look, if you will. Chapter number 1. Paul starts out there. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel, which he hath promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he goes down there declaring the Lord Jesus. And he gets to verse number 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Amen. That two B's is in italics, which means it wasn't in the original, called saints. They're saints. But God called them and made them saints. That's the point of it. Amen. God made them become. You wasn't born a saint. You got born again to be a saint. Amen. You didn't just decide to be a saint. You got born again. Made you a saint. Amen. The Pope didn't make you a saint. He can't even make himself a saint. Matter of fact, you look at how they live, you'll know they ain't saints. Amen. You say that ain't a word, and they ain't saints either. Amen. All right? So, look at verse 1 again. I started chapter 6, verse 1. And what shall we say then? Shall we, saints now, continue in sin? He doesn't say, can we? Sure we can. He says, shall we? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, he just went through the whole argument. Chapter 5, and when we went through this verse by verse, you saw it, I'm sure. But chapter 5, he goes through that whole argument about how that even though sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God, in his mercy, looked out over all of our sinful past and was willing to let Jesus die for our sinful past. Amen. He was willing to take our sins upon himself. Amen. He commended his love towards us. That's chapter 5. God commendeth, that's the word, not just did, still does. God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He said just a couple of verses before that Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't wait till we got changed to save us. He saved us and changed us. Amen. That's what he's talking about. All right? Amen. So, of course, we're able to sin. We're capable of sinning. Our experience tells us that. And verse 1 tells us, it looks like we could. He said we do have... still have the capability to sin. Now, when we were lost, before we were saved, we had no feelings for the truth. We had love for sin. But when a person gets saved, they have love for the truth. And a hatred for sin. They have a loathing of sin. They remember what they did and how that it had offended our holy God, and we don't want to offend our holy God. We want to please our heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. And that is the point that he's making in this text and the context of it. We have the capability. We had no feelings for the truth, but now we have feelings for the truth. We want righteousness rather than sin. But seek ye first. That's a good word, good verse for the first day of the year, right? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Who does that? Only saved people. Lost people ain't looking for the kingdom to come. Lost people not seeking the righteousness of God, but saved people do. And that's the point that he's making in this text here also as well. Amen. Now, I go back to what I said earlier about Reformed doctrine. If Reformed doctrine were right, and by the way, if they could convince you that dead means no ability to do good, then dead here means no ability to do wrong. Then, I'll say the hyper-Calvinist then is preaching sinless perfection that they accuse us of preaching when we say you should sin no more. Right? If dead means dead, then dead means dead. If dead means dead in Romans or in Ephesians chapter 2, then dead means dead in Romans chapter 6 verse 2. Dead does mean dead, by the way. But it don't mean unable. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. All the way back to Genesis, go back to the seedbed of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 2, is it? I believe it's chapter 2. God said to Adam, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day, not 1,000 years, the very moment you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Did Adam die? He ate of that tree, chapter 3. He ate of that tree. He didn't die that day, not the way we count death. He lived 900 and some years after that. But he died that day. How did he die? He was separated from God.
That's right.
Death is a separation. Body from soul and spirit from our body. That's separation. Right? When Adam died, he was separated from God. You know what happened? When you got saved, God separated you from sin.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you was lost, you're separated from God. You're separated from righteousness. But when a person gets saved, they die to sin and they're alive to righteousness. Amen. That's what he's saying. That's defining these, not just defining the terms, but this is describing the text. Exactly what he's saying there. All right. So, just a cursory glance at our text would show us that we could still sin, but we shouldn't. Our own experience and the experience of every person that's ever lived is that even a saint can still sin, but they shouldn't. Amen. Now let me, the last point, defending these truths. What does it mean to us? Why am I even preaching this? Well, one, because it's Bible. We need to know our Bible. You didn't just come to, I hope you didn't just come to have your ears tickled. You come to learn something from God. From God's Word. And some that'll help us in this year. That's what we're looking for. All right. So, what does it mean to us? First of all, I would say it means that Romans 6 is teaching us we ought to cultivate our new life in Christ. And we ought to crucify our old life of sin. I'll say that again because it needs to be said. We may order. Cultivate our new life in Christ, and we ought to crucify our old life of sin. That's, again, what the text is saying, and that's what we can learn from it. Amen. Read verse 2 with me again. God forbid. What's he saying, God forbid? No, we shouldn't continue in sin. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Don't you believe in once saved, always saved? Absolutely, I do. But I also believe once saved, you want to live for God.
Amen.
A whole lot of this crowd they're relishing their sin. They're reveling in their sin. They're rioting in their sin. They need to be saved is what they need to be. Amen. Need to be born again. God forbid, let me get back. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You couple that with verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. By the way, that ain't talking about your physical body. Because your physical body ain't destroyed. Salvation doesn't destroy your physical body. Matter of fact, salvation will help your physical body. It'll keep you from getting cirrhosis of the liver that drinking brings. It'll keep you from getting venereal diseases that adultery and fornication brings. Amen. It'll keep AIDS and all kinds of other things. It may keep you from getting a lot of those things. It may help your physical body. He's not talking about the body, physical body, but he's talking about that old life of sin. We count it destroyed with Christ. Let me read. I didn't finish verse 6. Might be destroyed that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Couple that with verses 11 through 14. Look with me there. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed. That word reckon means acknowledge, count it up, figure it up this way. Write it down this way. Right. When you got your checkbook, and when you do a reckoning, you balance that checkbook. You count it up. You add it up. This is how you figure it. He said, figure yourself dead to sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, by the way, there's where it is, let. You have a choice. You have a will. Amen. I got to go back to some of that. Some of that crowd that says you don't even have a will, they're not willing to believe you have a will. They just will not believe that you have a will. But he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Amen, amen, amen. And I'll say with verse number 17, but God be thanked. Amen. But God be thanked. It's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. It's not my doing good, it's Him enabling me to do good. But it's not my doing good that gets me saved. It's not my doing good that even keeps me saved. We'll go back to that. That sinner can do good all he wants, it don't make him saved. That saint can do bad all he wants, it don't make him lost. But I'm going to tell you what it does make him. He's going to reap. He's going to reap from that sowing. He's going to reap not benefits, not blessings. He's going to reap the burdens. He's going to reap the all the bad things. Amen. And by the way, if he's a child of God, God's going to chasten him. What about this crowd that says, oh, I'm just going on and sin and nothing ever happens. You know what's wrong with them? They've never been saved according to the Bible. Never been saved by the grace of God. All right, so dead does not mean incapable in either of these texts. Doesn't mean incapable of sinning, or it doesn't mean incapable of doing right. It simply means that before we were saved, we were separated from eternal life. Now we're joined to it. We're alive in eternal life. And now we ought to be separated from sin. Then we was joined to sin. We lived in sin, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. God wants us to live in righteousness today. Amen? Amen. In conclusion, let me ask you this. Where are you in this equation? Are you saved or lost? Are you dead in sin? Or are you dead to sin? Amen. Sinners do have the option of doing right or wrong. Amen. They have some ability to choose. I've talked about that, to choose what they want to do. And saints do have the option of doing right or wrong. We have the ability to choose. I'll tell you what we ought to do as a saint. We ought to seek to please our Heavenly Father. The Bible talks about fearing Him. Listen, I grew up fearing my dad. My children feared me. Amen. Not that they was afraid that I'd kill them. Not all the time anyway. There's a few times. I remember one time I was with some boys and we was doing some things we shouldn't be doing. And I said, if my daddy caught me, he would kill me. I'm glad he didn't catch me because I still don't know if he would have or not. I think he might have. But here's the point. That fear is not, it's not just a fear of him doing something bad to us. We don't want to break his heart. We don't want to disappoint him. We'd rather see him smile. We'd rather know his blessings rather than his chastening hand. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song.
We've got a year in front of us, and there's going to be a lot of options. There's going to be a lot of opportunities, do right or wrong. I hope that tonight we'll make up our mind, Lord, by the help of God, I want to reckon myself dead to sin. I want to consider myself not even able to do that. I don't want to do those things. I don't even want to consider that. Amen. When I talk to somebody, when I do marriage counseling, for example, if somebody's talking about getting married and we want to talk to them before they get married, I've done every single case. I never say, all right, listen, one of the first things we need to do is we need to get one of these, what is it they call them? We make them plans. Somebody help me. There's a word.
Prenup.
Thank you. We need to get those prenups out there. A prenuptial agreement. So when you divorce, this is what I say. Divorce ain't in the option. I don't want you to come here thinking if we divorce, but we're not even going to use that language.
Amen.
I personally believe divorce ought to be a bad word.
Amen.
Ought to be a bad word. Amen. Well, you say, well, what does that mean about this? We're his bride, and divorce ain't an option. We want to please him. We want to work things out. We want to glorify him and live for him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God tonight as we've tried to preach it and tried to, in a sense, explain what could be a very hard to understand doctrine, though it seems simple to me in looking at it in the terms I've looked at tonight. Lord, I want to thank you that even though I was dead, that's how I was. I was just like all them in times past. Walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience was working in me. But I want to thank you, dear God, that you by your mercy saved me and brought me out of those trespasses and sins. And now I still have the same ability, capability, but I sure don't want to do what I have done. I want to please you. I want to live like the Savior lived. I want to let him live in me and through me. The life which I now live, I want to live. I want Christ to live it in me. That you get glory and honor and praise. Father, I pray help those in our congregation to grasp that. Lord, to cling to that and let that be their banner this year. Let it ring in our mind again and again. We're no longer sinners. We're saints. We need to live as such. We need to figure it so, reckon it to be so, for your glory and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. Listen, if you have sinned, he's faithful just to forgive you if you'll confess it. Now, he talked about confessing and turning from it. That's the word repent that we use. Turning from that, not continuing on in that. He's faithful and just to forgive. I'm glad he is. Let's sing together. 534. As we sing, if you need to come, some are already praying.